Welcome to the Meditation Conversation, the podcast to support your spiritual revolution. I'm your host, Kara Goodwin, and today I'm so excited to have Sally Knopp joining for another appearance. Sally's been my guest a number of times on the podcast, and she always has some wonderful insights and stories to share. She's constantly in a state of exploration when it comes to consciousness and energetic healing, and she's passionate about getting her insights out to others so everyone can benefit. Sally is a multidimensional explorer and energy healer who's blended renowned modalities to create a powerful healing experience for those needing energy healing or for energy healers wanting to easily remove some sometimes hidden blockages to become even more effective. And this episode talks a lot about manifestation, the Akashic records, and using associated remote viewing. And she has some amazing stories about using the Akashic records and using manifestation. So there's some great advice as we get through this about how you can improve your own practices and utilize these tools for yourself. So we'll dive into that after I quickly mention something I am so excited about. You know, I love homeopathy and I'm particularly fond of Best Made homeopathic remedies. Well, I just discovered that Best Made has a homeopathic pet division, can you believe it, called Healthy Animals Forever. Through episode 291 with Lisa Tully, I learned so much about homeopathy for animals, and I'm so excited now to have found Healthy Animals Forever as a trusted source for my pet's health. I am digging into this treasure trove of remedies for gently and naturally bringing my pets into holistic wellness. So use the link in the notes to try Healthy Animals Forever for yourself and use code KARAG10 for 10% off. And likewise, that code KARAG10 will get you 10% off at Best Made homeopathic remedy for the people in your life too. And now enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for being here, Sally. I love having you on, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kara. It's awesome to be with you and your listeners.
Thank you. So every time you come on, there's been some up-leveling. And this is one of the things that I love so much is that we were talking right before I hit record. Everybody's got their modality. They've got their sort of focus of what they're on. And you're always in this state of constant evolution, which I really resonate with too, because I love having all these tools at my disposal and I like to try new things. And I find a lot of value in a lot of things rather than like my fixed points of, although I always have meditation where I'm always like, yeah, that's my foundation. But anyway, so there's been a lot that's come up for you and in terms of your own experiences that and the way that you're seeing that, that can help other people, which is why you're here today. We have a couple of things that we want to hit on, like manifestation and the Akashic records and how that's working with associated remote viewing. So these are all topics I'm fascinated by. So let's start with the manifestation piece. How have things changed for you lately in terms of manifestation in your understanding and practice?
Oh, it has been such a wild journey. I felt like I was on, was it Mr. Toad's wild ride lately? Oh my goodness. I think I'm always looking because I've always looked at the most simplest way, the most direct way to accomplish anything. And I've always felt from early on, do I really need to stand on one foot and quack like a duck at a certain time of the day facing east? Or is there an easier way to do it? Because I could see the simplicity of the universe. It's almost like this great orchestra. And even though all these pieces are playing, it's also very simplistic. And so it's always that constant search. But does it have to be that difficult? Does it have to, do I have to sit on a mountaintop and say Om for 30 years before I can level up? Or is there an easier way to do that? And I have found, especially as baby boomers and earlier generations, that we are looking for the most direct route, the simplest way to get to something. Because we're a society of instant gratification. Now, So how do we take where we are and then level that to where we would like to be without losing a large segment of the population in the wearing down of learning these new modalities? And I have to say, it was, I don't know if any of your listeners listened to a man called, he calls himself John of New, and he's a really interesting character. He had a QHHT session. He had a session that took him back to knowing Yeshua, and he just talks from his own perspective and what he has gone through and evolved. But he said one thing. He was like, it is actually very simple. You just need to get to a place of non-resistance. And in that space of non-resistance, all things are possible. And that was his takeaway. And as a QHHT practitioner, I'm like, golly, I have heard that over and over to the point where it just hits me over the head. Like, sometimes Sally can be a little thick. And what part are you not getting here? It's like the universe is coming through this other person. It's coming through my clients. And I'm like, okay, where do I need to focus? And it is very simple. It's what you think about, you bring about. And I know I've said it over and over, but you have to be in a place of non-resistance. And so when you break it down and you look at the quantum field and that every thought imprints the quantum field, what you project out, that thought is a projection out. That emotion is giving it fuel. The universe is a mirror, and it will reflect back to you that very thing that you are projecting out. So if, say, for example, you get to a place, and I just did a video yesterday on that. If you get to the point where you've, quote, done all the things for manifesting, but you're still stuck, you're not moving forward, you're not sliding back, you're in a place of stagnation. So what does that look like? So you have to step back and ask yourself, what's going between my ears? What am I thinking about? When you're sitting there saying, I'm ready, guess what's going to happen? The universe is going to have you in a perpetual state of you're ready. You're projecting out that I'm ready, but it's not in a place of I am receiving. So if you want to break it down to the simplest form, you have to not have an invested emotional outcome to whatever that answer is. Because say, for example, a client I just recently worked with, her husband was cheating on her. So she had a vested outcome into the answer. And for her, that is denial. That denial became an energetic block for the truth that she says that she said she was ready for. And so when I say you have to back out of your emotion, that is what you need to come to understand. Is the emotion creating the block of the truth and accuracy that you're looking to receive? No matter what that truth and accuracy is, if that's truly what your desire is, then back out of it and come from a 30,000 foot view down and look at that picture to see what is that showing you.
This is really fascinating. Can we talk a little bit about the emotional part of it? Because one of the things that resonates with me is that when it comes to manifestation, getting into the feeling of having what it is that you are wanting to pull into your life is it magnetizes it. Would you say that's true? I'm just interested in
the
that
emotion,
like, whole, because I love what you're saying, and there's another way I think that emotion can play in.
Yeah, emotion, yeah, you definitely need to feel and when you're receiving it. We'll get to that in a moment. But it can also block you. If you are focused on a certain outcome, and that outcome becomes your block, is what I'm trying to say. But you are correct in that the thought is first there, the emotion gives it the fuel, and that creates the manifestation. But again, if you're not mindful of how the process works, getting out of your own way, understanding it's like a computer, ones and zeros, resistance and non-resistance. You have to be in a space of non-resistance. And then you have to feel the joy of having it, because everything is in frequency. And that frequency, if it's low, if it's a lower frequency, it will be like a transmission jammer, or it will bring more of the unwanted, the fear. If there is fear, you're going to create more fear. If you're in a place of I'm ready, you're in a place of stagnation. So it's becoming mindful of the word in the head for you to understand how you can bring it forward and magnetize it. So for this person, I am joyfully receiving truth and accuracy of my situation. You're getting out of the emotion of wanting to be in denial that this is going on and allowing the universe to show you the accuracy of what's going on, because truth is the only way to full healing. If this person stays in denial and the husband is in a place of denying it, I never did this, then you have a dynamic set up where two people are going to get ill because they're not living in a higher frequency. In order to get to that higher frequency, you're going to have to deal with the truth. If it's ugly, okay, but deal with it, because he doesn't know what she knows. And for him to go through this healing process that he states that he wants, then he has to come forward and say, I have done everything, assuming she knows everything, but not knowing what piece she knows or doesn't know, and get it out. And then she has to be available to say, I understand you are in a different place now. Are you still there? Do we need help? Or do we need to move in our separate directions? But the healing can only take place when there is full disclosed truth between these two people. Yeah. And they can't get there if they are lying to themselves and lying to each other.
Yeah.
So emotion can generate it, or it can also block
it. One thing that comes up too, as you're talking about this, the role of living a more transparent life, whether that is the self-denial, that if there's things that like we don't know if we actually want to know the truth, or if it's we don't want other people to know the truth about ourselves. But thinking about it from like the energy field, it's like putting these blankets, like voluntarily having these blankets or shadows in our field, because we're willingly obscuring the actual energy of truth, which you're saying. But it's just, this is the image that comes to me that I'm like, wow, that's really powerful, because it's like, if we're allowing all these shadows in, that's disrupting our energy, and it's creating that disharmony, and then the physical comes from that energetic projection. So that's where that's manifesting. So that's really profound, that alignment. Like I feel like not only from the manifesting, but just the holistic health and well-being. And that's just very, very worth kind of pausing and just thinking about in our own lives when we have that denial, whether it's self-denial or lying or whatever, what that's doing in our energy fields.
Whether we're lying to ourselves or to others, but in full truth, it's real healing. And it is a frequency. And it's not like Sally can heal cancer. It's basically getting the energy where the person can feel and be in a state of a love frequency, the highest frequency you can get to. The body, the mind, the soul will right itself. When we do the trapped emotional energy, get that cleared, that's one step in a bigger process. At the end of the day, the person has to understand how they think.
Yeah.
And what is, because the thought will evoke the emotion, which evokes the manifestation. And it's very literal. It's truly a mirror that reflects back. So if you find yourself not where you want to be yet, you have to do that full self-examination and ask yourself, what are my thoughts? Where am I placing my attention and intention? And at the end of the day, if you want to bring everything forward, once you've done everything, if you're dealing with disease and whatnot, there's some clearing that needs to take place. So if not me, somebody, go out there and find somebody who can energetically cleanse and heal your energy, which for me was the beautiful Dr. Cecile Locke, who this medical doctor did energy healing on me and was the stepping off point for me to become healed. But it didn't heal in that one or two or three sessions. It was a process because for me, I had to get the trapped emotional energy out. And then there was the learning how to properly manifest and then how to do it. Because one, I come out of corporate America. I worked in the construction industry and I had to work very fast and I had to get very bottom lined. And that over 30 years has got me to the point where if Yeshua and other healers can go out and heal one and you're done, what am I doing wrong? And so that's question that I had is, do I have to stay stuck in a particular modality or can that modality evolve and change as I evolve and change? And of course, the answer to that is yes. If a modality works for you, you need to run with it. You need to go with what resonates with you at the moment.
And one of the things
that doesn't mean that you're going to stay stuck there. It means that you're going to evolve and change. And what worked for you yesterday may not work for you tomorrow.
Well, and I love that piece that you bring up too about our own role in our own healing as well. Because yes, if Yeshua could heal so dramatically, one thing we don't know is, did those healings stick? Because it's like we know what happened while he was there and the results that happened, but it does perhaps take that the individual who needs to have those change. They need to be able to see that it's possible for them to be well, but can they hold that? Can they hold that frequency? Because the way that I see it is like he helped them to elevate their frequency to where they could access that healing. And then it's up to them to carry that forward and not drop back into those patterns.
Right. Your journey. Yeah, your journey is your journey. I can't control your thoughts. And if I could, I shouldn't. And it's just like the client I had with pancreatic cancer. She was sent home to die. She was in stage 4 and told to get her affairs in order. And they reached out. We got her cleared. It took 6 months. That was early on. And that's marrying Dr. Bradley Nelson's body code technique along with Dolores Cannon, how she spoke to the higher self or the superconscious of that individual. So when you talk about Edgar Cayce and Dolores Cannon, they're doing the same thing. And so once you understand how the language is, again, like a computer speaking to the computer, the universe is much like that. Once you understand it's ones and zeros, resistance and non-resistance, you can affect a lot of change. Now, she became cancer-free. And of course, the doctors was like, wow, what a miracle healing. Isn't that lovely? She went on to live another 5 years. But here's the thing. When I would connect with her, I could tell she is on a trajectory for recreating. Yes, that was a miracle. I'm going to die of cancer. Guess what? She did. And it came on fast. It came on with intensity. And it wasn't in her pancreas. It was in her spleen. She was so determined through her thoughts and her emotions and so certain, I know that this is going to happen. So if you think about it in that terms, you're really looking at what they call a quantum foam, where you can have all these trajectories, but where your energy is focused is where you will end up. That will be reflected back to you. So you might have all these options and doors in front of you, but if you're moving toward one door, these other doors become less likely that you actually go through. And so for her, I could not say enough, what you think about, bring about, get to the place of non-resistance, and then your body will right itself. It will stay healed. You can self-heal. Your thoughts, literally, like Dr. Bruce Lipton says, are not only killing you, but they can actually heal you. And it is getting down to the basic, getting into non-resistance. That means detaching from the emotional outcome of wherever it is you're going, because your fears will morph what the trajectories are. And that's what happened with her. Her fear consumed her. If she could have been out of a place of fear and been in a place of love and joyfulness and peacefulness, her body would not have recreated the thing that she feared. So she was in resistance. So emotions are like this. Fears, whether it's worry, anxiety, frustration, any negative emotion is based in its root of fear. That is your resistance energy. Love, laughter, happiness, joy, peacefulness, those are emotions of non-resistance. And you make a good point. Meditation works well for a lot of people, but there are people like me where meditation doesn't really work, or so we think. But there are two times of the day that they do work, and that's as you're going to sleep at night and as you're waking up, because you're in a higher theta state, lower alpha state. And in that moment, you can program whatever it is that you desire. And the easy way to do it is right here, right now. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
I am joyfully receiving. And then you fill in the blank. And you stay with it. I am joyfully receiving all the abundance the universe has to offer me. I am joyfully receiving peace and abundance. I am joyfully receiving God's source energy flowing through my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit. As you're going to sleep at night, you can say, I am joyfully receiving a full night's sleep. God, fill this room with rest and allow me to sleep through the night. You are in the now. I am. And that's what it comes down to. You are not in a place of resistance because you're already going, dipping into a deeper alpha state, a lighter theta state, because that's the place you need to go. That's where we go when we meditate. So you're there twice a day naturally. That is our natural state. And we're actually in that state for the first 7 years of our life, by the way, which is why children are so creative. And then when you are there, that is what you say. You say it at least three times. Not so much that there's any juju to it as much as you are programming the subconscious mind for success, health, and wealth.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. So I think bottom line, we've got the affirmation to work with when we're falling asleep, when we're waking up, and understanding the two roles of emotion. So clearing out the resistance, identifying what the resistance is, clearing that out so that it doesn't get in the way of what we want to manifest, and then also tuning into the emotion of what's it like to be in this state of this future state that I desire, that I'm pulling in. What does it actually feel like to be in that? And then to use that kind of feeling to attract.
Yeah, because in quantum physics, they talk about the thought imprints the quantum field. So when you think about something, you already have it set. So if you can place your perception from the point of view that it's already yours, because the very nature of the thought imprints the quantum field, then by the joyful emotion that that desired thing fills you with, the joyfulness of it, the peacefulness of it gives it the energy, the fuel to create it in the now moment. But if it evokes a fear energy, the fear of lack, you've just shoved it away. So you have to say, I can be fearful, but I'm going to do that later. Right now, I'm just going to feel the joy up.
Beautiful.
And eventually the fear will break away because you'll become less focused on it as the results begin to manifest fully in your life.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sally. So let's move over to the topic of the Akashic Records and how this relates to associated remote viewing.
That was astounding when I went through all of that. My goodness. So I've always been interested in the Akashic Records since I became a fan of Edgar Cayce. And when Dolores Cannon came around and I saw that she was putting people in the theta state, I understood that's exactly where Edgar Cayce was. And they talked about the Akashic Records. So as you look at the people, the Law of One, and all these other gurus out there, you begin to understand all answers are in the theta state, or at least the lower alpha state, again, being in the non-resistance. Because when you're in theta, you're not generating the fear emotions. You're just kind of blissed out. So when you're blissed out, then you understand that all things become to download into your mind. Again, I'm always trying to simplify the process. Do I have to go see my QHHT practitioner and lay down in 4 hours and fight my anxiety and whatnot when I can just actually sit down and just clear my mind? And as you said, through meditation or through that period of going to sleep or awake. And then you say, download all answers to all questions I have immediately upon asking. Now, there is a setup to that because you don't want to just bring in any radio frequency. You don't want to be Arecibo out there and picking up the violet channel. You want the God source energy channel. So for me, I work within my own belief system that surrounds me with divine angelic protection. And I think a lot of manifestors do that too. They want to be their guardian angels, their guides to surround them. And so I just envision that room because remember, the thought creates the reality. So I envision the space and that I am fully protected, that I work with God source energy, and that God source energy through attention and intention will download all answers to all questions I have immediately when I ask. And when I sit down to work and do energy healing and I look at what past lives most affect people today, what I'm doing is getting my brain calmed. I'm detaching from the outcome, bringing myself into the place of feeling joyful thoughts and joyful emotions and not attaching myself to a certain outcome. And some of the things that you can find are pretty astounding. And I shared with you, just to give you an example, in that run-up, I wanted to do what we call there's remote viewing, which is very technical, and that is what the government has done over the years. There have been some, Buchanan's one of them, and there's many others. Michael Jaco, you've had on your deal, is a remote viewer. It is a very technical way to go, but you still have to detach from the emotion and the outcome. And so they're splitting their brains where they've got the technical aspect running in the background, but they also have this other aspect going in where they're not attaching to an outcome. And that really takes a lot of training to get there. But you can do associated remote viewing for those of us who are not, I think, is it the left brain that's very analytical and we want to be more in our right brain? We can actually do it through attention and intention. Again, getting yourself out of the way, not attaching to the outcome, and then with the focus, get yourself in your safe bubble. And then what you do is download all answers to all questions I have immediately upon asking. And it was that simple. Because once I had that realization just a couple of months ago or 3 months ago when I reached out to you and said, oh my gosh, I don't believe it happened, I was able to solve a bit of a family mystery. So I have a 4x great-grandfather that we could not find. Now, we know he's around because we have the land records. We have his name, and when he sold land, we have the will. We have all of this. And yet, our family history goes dark with this guy. And so, working with my sister, who is Susan Crandall, and she's a writer. She wrote Whistling Past the Graveyard and a lot of other titles. So she's going to be writing this epic journey, which is that real thick book, because it's the story we heard growing up of our family who survived a massacre and came up. It's just an amazing story. It's an American story because it starts right before the American Revolution up to today. And I know I won't bore your audience with the details of that, just to say, we could not find this grandfather who was so pivotal in this story, and we needed to find out what happened to him. And so I said, okay, let's just try this new method. I just need to do it and exercise it. And my sister's pretty analytical, but then she does have this creative side. She's open. And so we sat down and I tuned in, just like I said, I tuned into him by stating his name over and over in my mind after I've got myself in my safe angelic space. And then I said, download all answers to all questions I have about this. And I started getting all this information. I was actually connecting with him. And then when we would ask certain questions, the information just stopped. It stopped. And like, he does not want to talk about it.
So what kind of questions was he willing to, or not he, but was willing to come through, and then what stopped? That's so interesting.
Apparently, he turned out to be quite of a nefarious hoodle doer. And
oh my goodness, a hoodle doer, you don't say.
He was not the nicest man, apparently. And it really surprised me because you have this idea of your ancestors and they went through the American Revolution. They were pivotal in Cornwallis's demise at Yorktown. And they ended up with land grants as appreciation, all this. And you want to figure out, why does the story go cold with this one guy and picks up with everybody else? And so it didn't make any sense. And I'm thinking the first step is to connect with him. And so, yeah, he's really willing to talk about it. But you start asking him the hard questions. Oh, no, we're not talking about that. No way. So I'm like, okay. Every thought, every action considered by every human being is stored in the Akashic Records. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bypass you and I'm going to go to your Akashic Records and see what I can see. Now,
okay, so that the man, helps obviously, me. I misunderstood. So you had been connecting with him first before you went to the Akashic Records. And then, okay, and then you were like, all right, you're not giving me the info. Gotcha. I'm with you.
But even there, you still have to have respect. It's not a place to go spying. And this is something I want to make very clear. You're not going to be able to use it for spying on somebody else. Not without the information that is given through the Akashic Records has to be a soul-to-soul agreement. So remember, we are multidimensional beings. So it can break off. Your personality wholeness or your soul can sort of separate itself out and have this experience. Now, I think this grandfather I had didn't really fully absorb back into the other space. I think he was been busy haunting the land, this area where he was, right? And so he never really fully absorbed back into the soul aspect of him. And so that's where he was really disconnected and still sort of like, no, we're not going to talk about that. I'll tell you about this other step, but we're not going to talk. And that's a part where those energies will deceive you. So that's what I'm saying. You've got to make sure that you are in a divine space and that your intentions are pure. We were wanting information. So we asked the higher self, the bigger part, the one, the oversoul that Dolores Cannon talks about, and say, may we have access to this individual's Akashic Records? And I got yes. And so, okay. And the reason we're accessing it is when we want information. But again, for me, I don't want my 4x great-grandfather out haunting somebody. It would be nice if we can get him energetically cleansed and healed so he can move on and get back to where he needs to go. And over time, I think that takes place. But anyway, we could debate that 6 ways to Sunday and have a whole other show on there. But once I got permission from his higher self to look into the Akashic Records, that's where the information began to flood in. That's the email I sent you. Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe what happened. Because what took place is Susie and I were doing our Zoom call. I'm now in, I'm getting all this information, and like, oh my God, this is not somebody I want to even associate with. The information, it was just like, I had to stop 3 or 4 times connecting into his Akashic records because I was horrified with what I was discovering about this character. So anyway, I go in, I connect with my 3 times great grandfather. And all of a sudden, I have this download of information. And I'm telling my sister, we have this all on video. One day, I will probably get it out there, but this is going to turn into a book, so I can't really get much of that out there right now. I might put little excerpts of it out. I said, I know where he is. He buried him at Mount Zion, and that's a place in Fishers off 106th Street in Indianapolis. And that's where my family is from, that whole area of Fall Creek. I've got a grandfather on almost every plot of land. But I found he is there. I told my sister that why we can't find him is because he is there. And she goes, really? But there's, we know of all the gravestones. And on the list, they made the list of graves based on the stones that they found, like in the 30s. This guy died like in 1857. So there's been a long time that has passed.
Even before the Civil War.
And I said,
my goodness.
Yeah. So the church that was there on the property dissolved a long time ago. Nobody knows where the records are. And so you're like, how am I going to find this guy? Because the records for that cemetery are incomplete. And so I said, you're going to have to download. And so I connected with my 3 times great grandfather, the son of my 4 times great grandfather. I said, where is he? And he's there. And I said, I got to go through the gate and just to my right. And so I kept telling my sister that the first day we had, it was warm enough to go out to the cemetery. My husband, my sister and I, my sister says, we need to take a shovel to the cemetery. And I'm like, I think we'll be arrested. We should probably not do that. But we did take some rebar and we took a garden trowel. And I said, I just allowed myself to be pulled with the information I got from the Akashic records, from the higher self of that individual, and also bringing for my great, 3 times great grandfather and asking, where did you put him? And then I went over the space and I kid you not, I said, he's here. So my husband takes this rebar and he's jamming it in the ground because it's soft enough. I said, there is something here that's going to mark his grave. And before we even got started, I told sister, I said, his grave is marked but unmarked. And I couldn't figure out what that meant. It's marked but unmarked. So anyway, my husband, he's going every 6 inches. I said, no. You're not in the right place. You need to be over here and you need to go every couple of inches. Guess what? My sister took the rebar and started doing it. Boom, 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 boom. And she came across something that was about that long. That's a headstone. That's about 18 to 24 inches. And so we decided it's not that far under the ground, just as I saw it. And she began to just move the dirt away to see what that hard spot was. And as she's doing it, I could feel thud. Because one of the things I've developed is clairsentience. And I could almost envision myself as my 3 times great grandfather. He's standing at the head. And I feel him dropping this rock at my feet. Over this, I could envision this mound of dirt. And I hear him say in my mind, not in actual words, but that is all the marker you will ever get. And you know what happened? She dug up a rock that was about 20 inches long, 18 to 20 inches long, I kid you not. And it was like a marker, don't dig here. But we're not giving him any more attention.
Wow.
And my sister looked at me like, I can't believe this just happened.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Yeah. And so the information that you can get when you detach from the outcome and just let the information come in, when you are fully relaxed, once you understand, it's just ones and zeros.
Yeah.
Getting yourself in a place of peacefulness. You can learn anything. And the interesting thing that I've also discovered is that perception. So if you will envision with me for a moment that I have written in front of me the number 6. And because you're across from me, you see it as a 9. Are we wrong? If I say, I just wrote down a 6, but you see a 9? So we have to understand everybody has their own perception of going through life. And what might be right for somebody else is not always going to be right for another person. And I think it's beautiful because we're all here to have an experience. Whereas in the quantum phone, we kind of meet and we kind of pop off. We kind of meet because we're sharing and learning and evolving from each other.
Oh, that's amazing. So if there are people who are like, wow, I want to learn more about the Akashic Records and how to access it for myself, do you have any resources or tips or suggestions for people if they want to help to develop that?
I'm working on that. Yeah, I'm working on that. I will hopefully have a tutorial video coming up. It takes a little time to put it all together. One, I've got clients doing every day. Yeah, I plan to do that. But if there's anybody interested right now until I get my tutorial video up, if they just want to reach out to me on my website, sallynopp.com, that's the best way to reach me. Or just go ahead and set up an energy reading. I've got a really great energy reading, $25 for 25 minutes. That can get you started. It doesn't cost a lot of money. Put your toe in the water. And if you want to dive deeper from that point, then we'll just go from there. But at least you don't have to put out a lot in order just to sample it.
So it's Sally Knopp. Knopp is K-N-O-P-P. And then when you say get a tutorial up, you mean on your YouTube channel?
On my YouTube channel, I will also get it up on my website too. So yeah, Miracles of Consciousness is my little YouTube channel. Miracles of Consciousness Radio. I have a DNA strand at the top. If anybody who wants to learn, I'm here to help and I want to share because at my age, I want to get the information out there as fast as I can so people can take what I've learned. It took me 8 years to learn. Don't spend 8 years of your life trying to figure it out. Start with this and go from there and see what you can do
with it. Well, thank you so much, Sally. Thank you for everything that you're doing. You are always just working to help people to evolve and to keep working on yourself. And I really honor that. And I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And what I like to tell all my clients is get out there and start dissolving clouds. I always say that at the end of my videos. And you can see that on my homepage, sallynopp.com, how to do it. Because it's important that every one of your listeners know that they have the power within themselves. Their thoughts will control the matter. And if they can go out and dissolve clouds the way I do in my 3-minute video, just do it the way I do it, you will understand that you have the power to change your entire life.
Beautiful. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to ask you for one quick favor, and that's to share this episode with one person who you think will benefit from it. Let them know you're thinking about them by sharing this episode with them right now. Thank you, and I look forward to the next meditation conversation.